You are tuned in to Community Radio, WPVMLP, Asheville, North Carolina, 103.7, streaming online, WPVMFM.org, the voice of Asheville, heard all over the world.
Listen as the sound enters my inner ear and vibrates through my inner plane, my biosphere.
Part of me learning to be a better listener of others is learning to listen to myself.
When we are listened to, truly listened to, you know, you can feel when someone's deeply listening and we feel heard. We are healed in that moment.
Listen and be heard. Even if your voice shakes without knowing it, you may be saving a stranger.
Listen and be heard is, I guess, part of why I wanted to connect with you, because as soon as you said that, it like stuck a chord in my soul.
Welcome to the Audio Garden, where we cultivate our collective wisdom, nurture creativity, and spread love. My name is Martha Senator, and this is Listen and Be Heard. Welcome back, my friends. It is so good to be here with you once again in the Audio Garden. This space, this place where we slow down to listen and be heard and to appreciate each other's company and remind ourselves what's important to us. And today I'm so excited to welcome back to the Audio Garden, Yvette R. Murray. This time to talk about her children's book, We Celebrate Gullah Geechee. And later in the hour, some new music that once again you won't hear anywhere else. This time, Ernan brings us a live recording of Fred Wesley and the JBs. Yes. We have fresh music and fresh poetry. And as always, we're going to get started with a poem. This one is from Yvette, and she's reading from her book, Hush, Puppy.
This poem talks about, you know how everybody says we Southerners have an accent, and it comes after a poem written by a Latina poet named Denise Froman. It accents. Sister, my mama has the sky in her mouth too. She carries beautiful Hausa, rhythmic Igbo, and exquisite Yoruba, all smashed into one gumbo called Gullah. Gullah, the language of survival. In muck of rice fields and muck of this republic, it flows with a rhythm so deep, 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 it has to be eaten like all good gumbo should. With cornbread, we know that the beauty of this Creole is living on nothing, thriving in mist. Governed by the moon itself, Gullah pounds the shore like the tide, dragging grains of sand to build islands elsewhere. Hidden deep within our throats, language of rebellion seen in the eyes, heard in the tilt of a chin. My mama brought it to me with the pride of bare feet. We are yet being used, bought, sold, traded, packed, shipped, and pilfered. For now, poachers take Gullah like ivory and put her on their trinkets to sell.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture. I'm Martha Senator. Yvette R. Murray is an award-winning poet and the author of Hush, Puppy, on Finishing Line Press. Celebrate We Gullah Geechee is her first children's book. She is the 2022 Susan Lauder Myers Poetry Fellow, a 2021 Best New Poet Selection, a Watering Hole Fellow, and a Pushcart Prize nominee. She's a board member of the South Carolina Writers Association and the Poetry Society of South Carolina. And here she comes to the garden gate.
I'm so happy to welcome poet and children's author Yvette R. Murray to the Audio Garden. How are you, Yvette?
I am doing well, and thank you very much for the invitation. I love being here. I love what you're doing. I'm just happy to be here.
Thank you so much. We're so glad to have you back, actually. Yes. My co-host and co-producer, Tony Robles, had you on the first time, and I love the title of that book, Hush, comma, Pup. That's a great title. Exactly. And when I heard that interview, I have to tell you that I said, well, she might be a writer, but I know she is a great speaker.
Thank you.
Thank you, because I actually lifted a little quote from that interview, the end of which is, they have it in their brains and they can't get rid of it, which is kind of paraphrasing you a little bit. But
yes.
We play that every week before our banned book and freedom of speech comments. And so I have to thank you for that. And people ask me, like, who is that? Like, who, like, some famous speech I got it from or something. And I'm like, oh, that's a vet. That's just the way she talks, apparently.
Exactly.
You know? So welcome back.
It's so true. As poets and writers, it's so true. Sometimes the environments that we're in are really unfriendly to
this
particular poet, but you just got to push your way forward and speak your truth, and it becomes a part of that person's experience, the listener's experience, whether they like it or not.
Absolutely. Yes. And whether we like it or not, you know. And
exactly.
Sometimes I think we say things and then we hear them once they're spoken. So in a sense, we tried to get it out, but it's still coming from our brains. I don't know. Now I'm reaching. But you,
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I wanted to talk to you today about Celebrate We, Gullah Geechee.
Absolutely.
And that's a beautiful, I've been looking at it, a beautiful book, beautifully illustrated by Tanya Engel.
I have to give her all her props. She is an amazing illustrator. All of the illustrations she did in oils, it gives it a deep, rich, vibrant timbre that just reflects on every single page.
Yes. And I will start this by saying that I had a sort of preconceived notion about the Gullah Geechee being the coast of South Carolina.
Can I stop you 1 second?
Gullah Geechee.
You're welcome.
You see, I'm ignorant. I thought it was only South Carolina, basically. So, but you start off this beautiful children's book with a map that shows the coast of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida.
Yes.
So please, you know, maybe you want to expound a little on why you wanted to present all this information in this way.
The area actually has a name. It's called the Gullah Geechee Cultural Heritage Corridor. There's an organization, a wonderful organization, who exists to preserve the culture of the people. After the enslaved people were freed, they were given land, which we know was taken from them, but they settled in the coastal areas along that region and on the Sea Islands. They built a vibrant culture, a wonderful life out of nothing. We know that they were not given the 40 acres and a mule. They were not given anything. They took what they had. They took what they saw. They took what they needed from the land and the water. And they survived, not only survived, but they thrived, because we're still here today. Gullah Geechee people still live here. Gullah Geechee people still work here. We carry on the traditions. Most of it is being, I wouldn't say it's being taken, but a lot of our culture is being absorbed and used and seen, not even knowing that it comes from us.
Mm-hmm. I love the way you presented it through the voices of a variety of children so that we could experience how they see those things from different perspectives, different relationships that they have, and how you really kept it there with the experience of the children. So you hint a little bit about the history, the slavery, yes, but you, yes, don't really go there in this book. It's more about celebrating, I think, that continuation of culture that you're talking about.
That's exactly it. One of the themes that I worked through and used in the book was showing people that our culture is modern. Our culture is 2026. It is not dead. It's not dying. It's alive. And what better way than with our children? What the children see. I wanted the children to think about when I have read in the schools, it's important for me to remind the children that there are oak trees right outside. There's the marsh right outside. You pass by these things every day. You know these things. They're all familiar to you. So it's alive. It's not dead. It's not dying. That was one of my most important messages, is that our culture is here and it's here to stay. And
that there's a movement among especially indigenous tribes and cultures, you know, a concept of land back, which is based actually more in land stewardship than in the idea of like controlling resources.
Right.
And this makes me think of that you're emphasizing the fact that people can, you know, go outside and look at that oak tree, yes, and make use of it and survive, yes, with what it offers. And that in this place and time that we find ourselves in, that's a most valuable message, you know, the food we grow, the things, and that knowledge comes from, even though it's transplanted, it comes from an indigenous wisdom.
Yes, yes, that belongs to the land. The land, as I said before, the land and the waterways are very important to our culture. In these days and times, as you said, the movement, it is now also very important to us as human beings as we continue to use up the resources, the natural resources. It becomes more important to preserve the resources. It becomes more important to save our space and do whatever we can as a people, as human beings, as Gullah Geechee people, to keep and hold on to our land so that we don't keep losing what was ours.
I'm Tony Robles, co-host of Listen and Be Heard. This is Listen and Be Heard Radio.
Why did you want to write a children's book?
It always was something I was interested in. I'm a student of studying, so I would take workshops. I belong to the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. I attended the Quayle Conference in New York, just learning and wanting to tell our stories. Some of the original manuscripts that I had were nostalgic manuscripts about when I was growing up. I grew up in downtown Charleston, about when I was growing up and what was there and what it was like. And those manuscripts have not been born yet, but they're still in process. It was important to me to show that. The book actually started as a small board book. I was attending a conference, and at the conference, they talked about a series, one of the publishers talked about a series that they had teaching the kids colors through things that they see. And I thought that would be a good way to bring forth our culture. So the book is educational. A teacher can use this book to teach the five senses to a little ones. Different things that they see and know and hear and eat and smell. They can teach the senses. That's how the book started. The first section, if you notice, there's colors, different colors in each one. Yeah. So that was the original book. I won a contest in 2022, spoke with my now publisher, spoke with them, and they decided they wanted a book. At first, they wanted a series of five board books, the little books. Mm-hmm. Then they decided we were going to put it all into one. And so that's when it took on more of a poetic quality, more of the stanzas that are in the book. Because, you know, board books have not that many words. But
right.
It had to be expanded in order to take on its current form.
So you brought the poetry, basically. And I should have mentioned that, really, because the poetry is really beautifully held by the illustrations.
Oh,
and yeah. So it is a children's book, but it's still a poetry book.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And really, maybe even a song book.
True. True. When
someone chooses to.
Yeah, I definitely agree. One of the things I do with the children in the schools is I want to get them to really internalize the states. So we sing a little song, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. And, you know, that's a way that children will easily remember if they have a little song to go along with it. So that is something that we have done in the schools.
Well, this seems like a great juncture to ask you to maybe read a little bit from your book.
Okay. So how about you pick the sense? Which one would you like?
Oh, well, I'm into touch.
Okay. Let me just find that part. Okay. Here's what we hear. Okay. I got next. Now come with me, play with me. There's beauty all around to touch and feel. Soft green grass tickles my feet. Skin tingles in the cool shade. When the sun smiles wide, my toes get hot, hot, hot. Grandpa's hands feel rough and tough. His arms wrap me up so tight and give my heart a cuddle. I love, love, love his strong, soft hug. The faces on Gullah Grass dolls resting safe in Mama's room are scratchy, but their bright cloth dresses feel so, so soft and smooth. Can you feel that? Palmetto trees grow on every corner. My hands can't help but touch. Their skinny, sticky, spongy trunks press my fingers to the prickly skin. Some shells feel the smoothest silk, and others are rough like tabby. Wet sand is a cool, gritty playground to build my castle way up high. Can you feel this too? When the sun gets sleepy and slides low in the sky, a smooth, cool breeze brushes my skin. I cool down all the way down.
Yvette R. Murray, reading from Celebrate We, Gullah Geechee. Do you want to tell our listeners how they can find out more about you or where they might be able to hear you read?
The easiest way is I can be followed on Instagram at Miss Yvette Writes and also Facebook. My whole name, Yvette Murray.
And all of that will be on the website on the episode post for this podcast on our website for people to find easily. Is there something else that you would like to say about this book?
Another one of my guiding forces was paying homage to our ancestors. When you think about the Gullah Geechee people, Just imagine someone, an individual who was formerly enslaved and now they're free. And they were able to build from nothing. They, during their enslavement, they created Gullah, which is a Creole. All of these people, all of the individuals came from many different places in West Africa, many different tribes, many different languages. And yet they were able to develop a Creole where they could not only communicate, but they could facilitate running away. They could do whatever they needed to do. They made a home language. They were able to survive conditions that are beyond horrific. And we can't, no matter what is happening in this country right now, we can't let it be forgotten. We can't let it be downplayed. The Gullah Geechee built the foundation that we are still building on even today. They made sure they took care of their children. They took care of their homes. They took care of each other. And we can't forget that. They deserve the honor of that. They deserve, we may not know their names. Unfortunately, that was taken from us. But knowing that they existed was not taken from us, cannot be taken from us. They have to be remembered and honored for what they did.
Thank you for that, Yvette. And it reminds me something that really made an impression on me when you spoke with Tony Robles. You mentioned, and maybe it was from a poem in Hush Puppy that you might like to read to us, but you brought up the handprints in the bricks in the streets. Mm-hmm. And that was such a potent image to me. And I think it must be for you as well, because you brought it up again in this book.
Yes.
And maybe you'd like to just speak a little bit further about what that really means to walk the street and see those childish handprints.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is an arresting image. From just looking around and asking about it, I know where I can find several of them here in Charleston. And it shows that it's real. It's really real. You can't sand the fingerprints down. They're there, in there. You know the story of how they got to be there, right?
I do, but please share it.
Oh, of course. Being in Charleston, red bricks are everywhere. At the time of enslavement, it was the children who assisted, shall we say, in the production of the bricks. Bricks, you know, the material is soft and they put it in the kiln and it has to be turned. So the little children had to stick their hands in there and turn it with their little fingers. The material was still, it was not all hard. The material was still soft. And so the little fingers indented in the bricks, then it was baked in forever. The idea of enslaved little people, little children being forced to do such hard work absolutely is a stark reminder of what happened during that time.
And it's right there like the oak tree.
Yes, absolutely. It's right there for us to see. I love when I'm with a historian who can point them out to me. A lot of buildings have exposed brick here in Charleston. I love when someone can say, there it is right there. So there are many examples of things, the wrought iron gates that point back. And we look at pointing back as something that is very important today. You can't just go forward like it didn't happen. Can't go forward like the rice paddies didn't exist. And after the enslaved people were set free, they died away because that was such laborious skilled. It was a skill that they brought with them to this country, but it was so difficult and so dangerous. Yes. Yeah. So labor intensive. It couldn't go on without the hard work of enslaved people. Enslavers went to certain areas in Africa where they knew the people had the skills to grow rice, to be brick masons, all of that stuff. They made fanner baskets that they used out of sweetgrass. They made the fanner baskets that they used to help make the rice, cultivate the rice. Couldn't have done it without that basket that was made by an enslaved person with skills that they brought from Africa with them. So they were chosen. They knew, the enslavers knew who they were looking for.
There's another little tidbit of history for people, including myself, who did not know certainly that part of the story. So yeah. I thank you for that. And the bricks, well, they talk. If we're listening, they can be heard. And I'd like to ask you before you go if you could just give us a phrase using listen and be heard.
It's a double-edged sword. If you will listen, you can be heard. Might not sound like the two go together. If you're listening, you're not hearing. But if you're listening, if you will put in that part of the equation, the other part will come as well. They go together, listening and being heard.
Thank you so much, Yvette, for joining me here in the audio garden.
I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you too.
Listen. And ask, who is listening? Who is it that hears? Who are you listening to the sirens, the alarm, the plane flying high? The car door closing, the window open to the spring night. Knowing who are you, knowing what you're listening to. Several sirens, several planes, and hoping it's okay. While you, whoever you are, know that you are writing about what you're listening to and noticing that your ears are ringing and the tension you feel is always with you as another plane passes and someone is doing something. And the outside spring world is coming through the window and touching my eardrums. And it's me listening, me hearing, me who heard what I felt, what I knew I know, knowing me is me, not what I hear touching my body. I am not my body. I am listening to what my body feels and dealing with what I know I am, which is sound too. I'm listening to you.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour. Please stick around, listen to the sounds of the audio garden, and we'll meet you on the other side of the bridge in a minute or two.
Listening and being heard are two separate things. You can listen to anything. You can listen to music while you're cleaning. You can listen to a sermon or anything in the background while you devote your attention to something else. But when you're being heard, that means that what you hear what you hear, you're actually reflecting on, and you're applying that with your actions, either towards the situation or towards the person.
Happening. Hernan Ramiro over here, formerly known as Jay Rodriguez. How you all doing? Hey, as always, bringing it with the music. Stuff that you only hear here, thanks to Martha Center and Listen and Be Heard Network. Hey, so we got a good one. We have Fred Wesley and the New JBs. One of my last performances with him as of last year when I was touring with him. It's a really... last performances, and Reggie Ward, the great guitarist, who we had to say goodbye to a couple of months after that, he was called home, amazing. Dwayne Dolphin is on there, Bruce Cox, it's a slew of amazing musicians on that, along with Fred Wesley and Gary Winters and myself, and amazing, amazing ensemble. And Coleman Woodson III on piano. And right after that, in another rare recording that I have, myself at the Blue Note with Damon Dwight, Howard Britz on bass, and really great unsung hero on the piano, Preston Fullwood, who happens to be back in town in New York. One great man, like Donny Hathaway meets McCoy Tyner meets, but he's an amazing artist. But more importantly, here he is on piano. If you've never heard of him, you will. I'm trying to get him out there. The great Preston Fullwood on piano. Myself on flute and baritone sax. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much. And don't forget to donate to Sound System Culture and Listen and Be Heard Network. All right. Peace out. Thank you. soul inflections, Live at the Blue Note, my quartet. And before that, you heard Fred Wesley and his version of Moaning.
This is the Listen and Be Heard Hour, brought to you by Listen and Be Heard Network, a project of Sound System Culture.
Predictability is a pointing finger, figure skating on cracked ice over a raging river that runs with Earth's tears for everything good and bad. Tears of joy, tears for what's so sadly stupid, so maddeningly maudlin. Tears are harmless. Less is more. The core of the predictability problematical is that it's protemporaneous up your anisette dreams and schemes and memes and memos. Demo solution, demolition, devolution, devotion to divorce with reality. Conventionality saves the interpolational tonality of your banality. Time for two, for you, for meeting moments of monstrosity. Died, fried, hanged, banged, her first, quenched, someone's thirst for. Free for all, have a ball, wear a mask while the task takes, remakes, mocks school frocks for jocks, jokes, jerks, smirks as predictably, niggly, rob the cradle to pay Peter Pan, man, the brand, heroin chic, peek into the eyes, take that prepubescent prized, precious, predictable.
So many projects. For example, we set up medical points, we keep sustaining them. We set up a school and we sustain a few schools. We also helped with a lot of food, especially in the time when the invasion of the North, that's just before, I think it was for the majority of 2025, we gave a lot to the hospitals so the staff can continue operating in the hospitals. There were so long periods of time where people in the hospitals, they couldn't leave or come back. So recently we have a very exciting project. We really finally got the note that the families of the martyred journalists are really need help. So we launched a campaign to help the families of the martyred journalists. We already started and we are going to hopefully build on that campaign so we can get more of help to help the remaining 270 families of the journalists.
Absolutely. A sign and a symbol of war times went, and Amnesty International at one point in history, my history at least, quite a while back, through El Salvador, some conflicts in Central America, made a special call to protect the families of activists and journalists. We are not part of that warfare, that onslaught. And it's such an education. Once again, outside of the lived experience of war times, it is stunning to me, relatives in the audience. I got to tell you, to see Project Hope in 25 deliver at a time that was just incendiary, water, children dancing, again, things that we fight for and only get understood under authoritarian regime, under the real experience of genocidal practices, do we actually get heard? People don't understand that. I will transition into what the Tribunal Project and how all three of us in our effort, in a broad, very popular sense of organizing in the revolution, we all have our work areas, and that Palestine should be symboled, at least it is for the Tribunal Project, symbolic of indigenous self-determination, something that is still yet again a myth, and that what you just described in devastation is normalized, is what people are very, very expected to hear and see more of, rather than to see what Project Hope literally weaves itself through war times and delivers. We need to continue. There's no other way. There's no other way to bring relief, like Seth says, in a mutual, it's down to mutual aid at this point. Find your issues, to find your EOS people in the community, make that your focal point, align, show the community what interfaith, solidarity, however you want to call it. It's not a question of national security to see solidarity organizers together.
A lot of people really go and thank me when they receive help. And my reaction would be, wouldn't you do that to me if I was in that place? So definitely this is something I would be honored to do.
Yes.
Okay. Can I say something? I see a lot of parallels between what you're doing, yes, and Pierre Labossière, a wonderful comrade of ours, right, that in the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund, where as a Haitian man living in diaspora, he is working in active solidarity with the organizations and the activists on the ground in Haiti. And that's what you're doing. It's the people get with support from resources flowing here, but it's not a charity program. You're supporting the people on the ground in the struggle for real liberation.
Exactly.
That was a little piece of the conversation on our sister show, Beyond Borders, being featured right now. The voices of Judy Tologan, Seth Donnelly, and Eyas Sartawi, and drawing parallels to the situation in Palestine, to the experiences of indigenous people here on Turtle Island, as well as talking to folks about what's happening with your tax dollars. I encourage you to listen to the entire conversation. You can do so by visiting us at listenandbeheard.net. Coming up next week here on the Listen and Be Heard Hour, I'll be welcoming playwright Kim McMillan to the Audio Garden, another writer who's returning to us from a previous season. This is a little bit of that conversation about her play. It's a fanciful play, and it's called Black Heaven.
Yeah, and then Alice Walker says, I would dream about you. I would just dream about you. And you were walking in the woods, and I would call your name, Zora, Zora. And you never turned around. And then she says to her, the night I dreamt and you turned around, I knew I would find your grave. And the biggest thing that they talked about, because honestly, I felt like I was a medium. And the biggest thing they talked about that they didn't want to be erased. And they wanted their stories to be told.
That was Dr. Kim McMillan talking about her play, Black Heaven. I'm looking forward to welcoming her to the Audio Garden next week. I hope you'll join us. The time passes so quickly here in the Audio Garden, and I see it passing in my patio garden as well. The tulips have bloomed, and now they're losing their petals. The chokeberry bush I planted is leafing out, as well as a very small blueberry bush, which, I don't know, maybe I'll get some blueberries or a blueberry or two next year. This year, I'm still contemplating how my garden will grow. And I'm going to leave you with some wise words from Laura Langnick, author of resilient agriculture.
The whole food system produces a pretty significant proportion of greenhouse gas emissions. Let's talk about in this country.
Okay.
And when we waste food, we are wasting all of the resources that were put into creating that food and getting that food to your supermarket. And all of those resources have associated greenhouse gas emissions. And so if we simply stop wasting food, purchase what we need to eat, we send a signal back through the food system to reduce production. In this country, about 30 and 40% of all edible food is wasted. I'm going to say that again. 30 to 40% of what we buy is thrown away.
Thanks, as always, to Davian Dial at WPVM Radio in Asheville, North Carolina, for introducing Listen and Be Heard to the broadcast airwaves. KCEI in Taos, New Mexico. KEPJ in San Antonio, Texas. KHOI in Ames, Iowa. And KFOI in Red Bluff, California. And other stations that are part of the Pacifica Affiliate Network for cultivating the audio garden in your communities, and our own Listen and Be Heard Network, host of WLBH.org. Please visit us at listenandbeheard.net and sign up for our email newsletter and at our Listen and Be Heard YouTube channel, where you will find unedited video interviews of our featured guests. My name is Martha Senator, and I want to thank you for listening and giving me the opportunity to be heard.
Sweet, yeah, yeah, and I'm so proud.